Hello, robotic crime-fighting dogs and all my video game friends. Welcome to another lovely episode of Podcast Lost in Games. I am your host, Doc Von Derwin, taking you on another journey through the cracks of video game perception. I'm trying that out, seeing how that fits. Probably not going to stick around. Probably not going to use that one again. But this is a fun episode that we did. Very interesting. I met up with my friend Todd Morash, who is the guest on today's episode, and we talked about homosexuality in video games. Now, he is about, you know, in his 40s, and he is a homosexual, and he's been a video gamer ever since the Atari era, so he literally grew up with video games, and it was really neat to get his perspective of watching video games kind of come up when they're a unisex kind of thing, when it's just like, you know, Pong, or it's Invaders, and you're just playing a tank, and evolving into, like, developing characters and story, and watching it, like, become what it is now, where people are starting to say, what about our homosexual characters? What about our female characters? What about African-American main characters? And kind of making it a more diverse culture rather than the very white, brown-haired protagonists that look like me, you know. Not that I'm complaining, but I'm complaining because we do need diverse games and we do need very eclectic ranges. And I'm not talking about your RPGs where you get to pick and choose what your character looks like, because that's obviously an amazing thing. So because you get to choose to be a female or choose to be an African-American or an African Skyrimian, or not even African, because I don't think Africa exists in the Elder Scrolls world. I'm digging myself a hole so deep that I will not be able to get out. But Todd, very good guest, very funny guy. I've known him for a while, and he is my DM, very fun, super into fantasy, and we really just wanted to talk about stuff like this, and I really wanted to get his perspective on how homosexuality is being portrayed in video games nowadays. And I will do a little omission before we get to a part of the episode where I talk about a character from The Ballad of Gay Tony who is a homosexual character, and I talk about how the character is designed to be hated, and just so that it comes clear, it's like it's not that they're cranking up any sort of homosexuality thing that is to be hated. I'm saying the character, like, he himself is, like, manipulative, he's selfish, he's a total jerk character, but they also happen to make him a little bit more of the flamboyant archetype of a homosexual. So yeah, that's my one omission. This episode is brought to you by Shiro Cosmetics. Check it out. It is a very cool place where you can buy all your pop culture makeup needs, be it your Game of Thrones eyeshadow, your Hunger Games nail polish, or Sherlock contouring powder. All sorts of great stuff that you can find at shirocosmetics.com. Go there, buy stuff. It's fantastic. I've recommended it to many friends, all of which say it's amazing. Check out that stuff. Now, get on to the episode. Oh, and as we move forward, please leave comments. Let us know how we're doing on iTunes. Let us know how we're doing on the site, podcastlostinspace.com. Also, check out my first YouTube video that will also be posted on Podcast Lost in Space. Hopefully, haven't really done it yet. That's the goal. But I did it with my friend Ben from The Ben and Doc Show, which is another podcast I'm doing. I just said podcast. Just, yeah, deal with it. I'm allowed to say what I want. Farts, balls. Yeah, I can say anything. Puppies. I don't know why that's a bad word, but I just chose to say it anyway. Screw you. But yeah, check out Emerald City Fame. It's a YouTube video that I made with my friend Ben. Very fun. Very funny. Really enjoyed doing it. And leave a comment on that as well if you feel so inclined. So let's get on with the show. Enough dilly-dally. I am now recording. Like that's how it is. So if you need to stop, you can stop.
You're recording,
like,
already?
Yeah. Like, why not? I mean, it's a conversational podcast, dude.
Wait, we already started?
As of, like, 10 seconds ago.
Don't you have to introduce the podcast?
No. Like I said, that's where it comes. I kicked something. That's where, like, the editing comes in. It's like I do all that beforehand.
All right, Doc.
It's a very conversational episode.
Sexuality in games.
Yeah.
What is your first memory of sex in a game?
Oh, jeez.
Because I think mine is...
That's a very good question.
I don't know if it's mine or if it's just that what everyone talked about with Grand Theft Auto. right? Because you could go get the prostitute and, like, she have sex with her in the car, and it would heal
which,
you.
Which, oh, yeah, because you're talking about, like, three, right? Probably, or you're talking about, like, maybe even further, because, and the thing was, is, like, I was so young when playing Grand Theft Auto 3 that I didn't even know that's what was happening. Like, I got that to happen. I was like, wow, a girl just got into my car. And then when I sat still, it would just start, like, rocking. Shaking. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know
didn't
this
was a thing.
Did you
have to drive somewhere with them, too? I think.
You had to drive somewhere, like, secluded. I just remember, like, I just happened to be driving by somewhere, and she was in the car, and I noticed that my health started going up. I was right. like, I have no idea what's going
on. You seriously didn't know they were humping in the car? How could you not know when the car was rocking like that?
I was very young when we got a PlayStation 2.
Like how young?
Oh, jeez.
Because I played that game after college, so I mean...
Yeah. Well, I must have been 6 or 7, but I didn't understand... I especially did not...
That makes sense then. Okay.
I did not understand what prostitution was, either. And so, like, if I had a just understanding...
I think your parents are very lacking in their...
Oh, my parents,
they're very lacking in their education of you if they did not have
if you don't ask, they won't tell you.
Oh, really?
And so every kid's fear is to ask their parents about, like, these kinds of private things.
So when did your parents talk to you about sex for the first time?
I don't think they ever really explained it to me. They left that to, like, the schools. Or, like, I figured it out on my own.
Did you have a health class that taught you?
Yeah. Yeah, we had health classes that taught us. And that was the thing, is that I remember a specific instance where I was, like... really tired of having, like, bag lunches, and I wanted to have, like, the school lunch. And there's an instance where I was like, Mom, we have to talk. And she's like, about sex? I was like, what? No, what? When did that come up?
Oh, you had to talk about
it. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about lunches. She's like, about sex? And she looks so defeated.
Well,
like,
this is, like, a video game podcast, so some of the questions that are coming to my mind are not... I should keep it on topic, because I was just going to ask you when you started masturbating.
Oh, jeez.
I think I was like 3. I was before kindergarten. No, I wasn't that young.
Your body doesn't have the ability to...
No, I was like 5, though. Yeah, you couldn't ejaculate.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
That doesn't happen until you're like 11 or 12. And then the first time that happened, I thought I had pus in there. I thought I was sick.
I think the first time I did it, I think I was like 13. Because I heard it referenced in a movie, like, or when I was younger.
And you thought, that sounds like a good idea.
And then I was like, well, I'm 13 now. I guess this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
So, if Grand Theft Auto was the first time I heard... So, I do think that for me... Well, so first of all, video games for me changed with the N64 Mario, because I am not a two-dimensional thinker.
Yeah.
And so I played Atari. We had Atari growing up, but that's way before your time. But there were, like, some games on Atari that we played a lot of, Space Invaders, and there was a game where you had, like, a little castles, like, I can't remember what it was called, and there were 4 people could play it, and you, like, bounce the ball back at each other to hit the other people's castle to try to get through and destroy them.
I don't know that one.
I mean, it was like a more advanced Pong for 4 people, but... I remember Mario 64 was the first time I ever bought a video game machine, and I was already, was I in college? I think I was in college, and I bought it because I wanted to play that game after seeing it at Toys R Us because it was three-dimensional, mm-hmm. and then instantly video games made complete sense to me, and that's ever since then I was hooked. And it was like mm-hmm. a weird thing, because my brother was always hooked on video games,
yeah,
and he hated it when it became three-dimensional.
And see, and aside from like sexuality games, like this is total tangent, I just had a really interesting thought, like, with my older brother and his, like, reaction towards games, because he's 4 years older than me, and so he started getting into games 4 years before I did, and as far as, like, his age timeline goes and all that. And so I'm younger watching him play, and I continued playing and all this. And there was eventually a phase where he, like, got to middle school and high school and just dropped it, whereas in middle school for high school, me, I kept it going. Right. I kept on doing it. And now... We're at this age where games are so mainstream. He's, like, well back into it. Like, he's asking me for advice. Which game should I play? Like, I need something that kills time and do all this. He loves fantasy games. He's probably going to pick up The Witcher real soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Somebody's currently playing The Witcher in the background with the volume.
Absolutely, yeah. Very respectful. Thank you.
I think that, you know, my brother just is more of a two-dimensional thinker. Mm-hmm. I mean, now he plays video games, of course, right? He stayed into them. But I was hooked. And when I played the first Grand Theft Auto, the first one that I played, which was probably the one... I think it was probably 3. It was a three-dimensional one.
That was 3, for sure. Because 1 and 2 were the top.
That game made me just want to make all sorts of games that still today I don't think we've quite gotten to where my imagination went after playing that game.
Gotcha. Because
you felt like you could do anything then. Mm-hmm. So then I was wanting to, like... I mean, I still want games where you can be animals or monsters, and we don't have any games like that. I mean, there's Evolve right now.
There's Evolve. They have, like, being a vampire werewolf in Skyrim, which
they
is,
do.
Like, that's,
oh,
that's the first thing
say,
that comes to mind.
Skyrim's Werewolf Simulator is, to me, one of the best things ever.
Yeah, I thought being a werewolf
literally,
was super
like,
cool.
You had to, like, eat... I had it on console. I mean, on Xbox first, and then I got it on PC.
Yeah.
You had to eat a certain amount of... What do you call it? You had to eat a certain amount of people to remain a werewolf. And you could eat deer,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Well, then they added in a special... And I think this came in with one of their DLCs, where you get a skill tree mm-hmm. as a werewolf, too. Which was awesome.
So you could extend your time as a werewolf.
Yeah.
I literally, on that game, one night, was a werewolf for, like, 4 hours. Just because I ate and killed it. And it was so cool to, like... That world in particular, like when a storm, when it was raining, and you're running through one of those little settlements, mm-hmm. and people see you and scream, and they attack you, or you go to like a bandit camp and just rip the bandits to pieces.
Oh,
or
I remember
go to one of the Imperial camps and ripping the Imperial camp. But then when I got it on the PC, I definitely like used cheats and mods that permanently made me a werewolf.
Oh,
and there was like one that colored you better. Mm-hmm. So here's sexuality in games.
Yeah.
Skyrim. I'll talk about this.
Yeah.
So. There is no sex in Skyrim, but once you play it on the PC, there is, right?
Okay.
And so, you know, there's all these mods where you can actually, like, have all sorts of different sex. Like, there's a mod where you can, like, tell somebody, like, exactly what you want them to do with your character, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a mod that took off all... Now, that mod was boring to me, because it's not good porn to watch these characters hump. And it lasted a little too long.
Yeah.
But it did give you, like, some... The mod gave you some sort of boost, so it was kind of funny. But I think I did... I think I actually had sex once. But one thing I did do in that game is I replaced every character, once you take off their clothes, having the underwear on, to just being naked.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seemed more realistic to me. And I think I installed the mod for... the men to just be naked when you took off their clothes first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is the weird thing. As a gay person, this is the weird thing. I probably went through 5 or 6 different mods with women before I chose the woman body, like the woman's body that would be naked.
Mm-hmm.
Because almost all of the mods for women were like, gross, like their boobs were huge. And it's like, they don't animate through the clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, you would, like, strip off, like, a bandit's stuff because you take all their gear to go sell it.
Yeah.
And these women would suddenly, like, you'd strip off their clothes and they would have, like, these gigantic... So I had to find one that was, like, I don't know, just more realistic. And I find
and that's, that's the funny thing, is, especially coming from you, is that I have a feeling since you're not, like, your focus on women is nowhere near focused about attraction anyway.
No.
It comes so realistic where you're looking at these female figures.
I don't want to look at dicks either, but I thought it was, I just think it's more realistic in that fantasy world that when you strip somebody down that they're, like, naked. They wouldn't be wearing little, like, perfectly sewn leather underwear. Nobody wore that in the old world.
No, of course
you
not.
Didn't, you did have undergarments. Like, The Witcher's pretty realistic about it. The weird... little pants he wears when he's, like, naked. The, like, have you seen them? The little white shorts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, those are pretty realistic. So, yeah. But I think it's odd that, like I don't really care about... I'm a gay guy, but I don't really care about dicks. But, like, I just found that mod to be... That made the game instantly better for me because it made it more adult and more, like, realistic on some level.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a mod where you could... your werewolf would have, like... genitalia, and
really?
There was a couple of them. There was one where it was like gross and too big. There was one where it was like a dog penis, which is kind of interesting.
And then there was another one where you used it as a weapon.
No, there was just There was one where like it was just like there, but it was covered in fur, and it really wasn't like it wasn't gratuitous.
Yeah,
but it just made sense that it's there.
You like
because
the aesthetic.
You're a naked aware.
Yeah.
I just like it to be realistic, and so like you know, like I find
you mean realist dick.
Realistic, yeah. Well, okay, so here's the thing. If you're seriously going to be in a situation where, in a game where there's nudity, right? Or
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, as a werewolf, you're not going to be wearing clothes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they could have had him have the Hulk ripped pants, but they didn't. He's naked. Why is there nothing there? There's not even a bulge there.
No.
That, to me, is way more distracting. And, I mean, okay, so sure, kids play that game, so great. That's fine, I understand, right? But, I mean, that's way more distracting to me as a person than if there is something there. So I think that's why I kind of did that in that game. I mean, the whole sex thing in that game just never interested me. I literally, like, I learned how to make characters and how to build levels and how to do tunnels and built myself, like, a fortress off to the side on a little island and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool, but, like, I made a companion to run around with me, and made him persistent so he couldn't die. And, like, you know, I had different body types, which you can't really have in Skyrim, but I did then. So, like, you know, you could have, like, a skinny guy, a buff guy, this guy, that guy. Mm-hmm. Same with women. And so, like, when I would make new characters, because I made new characters a lot of the times for, like, once I got really into being a werewolf, I then went through on the computer and made a bunch of werewolf hunters
mm-hmm.
that would reappear in certain areas, and they all had, like, silver weapons, and they were a challenge. And so, yeah. like, the idea is, like, if I'm running around killing people as a werewolf, you know, these hunters would eventually appear. So I did that, and... but, yeah, you know, the whole sex... The actual sex thing was boring. Now, so, the other game that has really gratuitous sex in it is The Witcher 3, right?
Yeah. And that's right. A perfect segue. And this is exactly right. what I wanted you to bring up.
So here's what I have to say about that, and I've told you this before, is that I love a game like Skyrim or Fallout or Dragon Age, where, although that's, we'll get to Dragon Age because I have a whole problem with their system too. Not a problem, but just for me it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love a game in which you can play the character of your choice that you sort of make up. You're like a blank slate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course you're the Dragonborn, or you're the heir to, I can't remember in Dragon Age what the heck you were.
Oh, yeah. I never played Dragon Age.
Right.
So, yeah.
I have a lot of problems with that game. I think it's way overrated. I don't...
The guy who runs the website in which this is hosted on, he gets... he loves Dragon Age. So when people say negative... No, go ahead. It's just funny. The last time someone brought up Dragon Age, he's like, I got so angry that I couldn't argue with them.
Well, my biggest problem with Dragon Age is that when you're at your house... You're in some really weird chainmail underwear, and it just is like you're not wearing the clothes that you've picked for your character.
Okay, I doubt he would argue with that.
Yeah, that bugged me. And then the other thing that bugged me about Dragon Age, which he will not have a problem with probably, is that as a male playing a gay male character in that game, I could not stand the people that I had the choice to sleep with. The gay character who was totally gay, who was a wizard,
mm-hmm.
was one of the most irritating characters that I've ever had in a video game with me. Mm-hmm. Ever. And I've heard that, like, he has this really bitchy exterior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just reminds me of every bitchy fucking, I probably shouldn't say the fag word, but, you know, he reminds me of every bitchy gay guy that you meet, right?
Yeah.
And he's not, I guess if you get to know him and have further conversations with him, he has this deeper side where his father was abusive to him and this and this and this.
Uh-huh.
But he had this little ugly curled douchebag mustache.
And I think seeing that character.
Yeah, and he was just kind of a dick. And then... I can't remember. Oh, the other character you could get with is, like, some minotaur. So screw that. And I misread somewhere that you could get with the bald elf,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, that's another problem with Dragon Age. What elf would ever be bald? I mean, I guess maybe he shaves his head because he's some sort of monk.
It could be a choice.
I mean, at least their elves didn't have facial hair, like some people let them, like Shannara Chronicles right now. All the elves have facial hair. I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't... That's a whole other tangent, but I really don't get the difference between the elves and the humans in the Shannara Chronicles.
Gotcha.
Like, that's the TV show, not the books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The TV show is pretty bubblegum, though, so, you know, can't get too crazy.
And that's right, yeah, like, this same podcast is, a friend of mine brought up the Shannara Chronicles and how it's, like, totally different and weird.
Well, so, it's very bubblegum. I mean, you know, I enjoy it, like, on the same level that I think I would enjoy, like, I don't know. It's pretty bubblegum. Gotcha. The guys on it are really pretty. Like, the main mm-hmm. character guy... who they seem to magically get a shirt off at least once an episode, is super good-looking.
Yeah, I used to judge shows before, like, the reason why I don't judge shows before I see them now is because when I originally saw trailers for The Arrow coming out, I was like, oh, dear God, it's just another CW bullshit show.
Do you like that show, The Arrow?
I watched 3 seasons of it. So I mean, granted,
the first season, and yeah. I twisted Hanks, my best friend's arm.
Yeah.
To watch that show because he's a huge DC person. He wouldn't. Now he's totally into it, and after the first season, I just never watched it again. I don't know why.
Season one and two are great. Season 3's okay, and then I didn't stop for any particular reason other than that I was just super busy and doing a bunch
right.
of other
and
stuff.
Right, and that's probably... And
The Flash is great, too. Like, The Flash is awesome. The Flash is way better than...
I have not watched a single episode of that, but I hear it's pretty good.
Okay, but back to The Witcher.
Okay, so... Oh, can we pause?
Oh, yeah, we'll pause. All right, we're back.
So, The Witcher.
Yeah.
Here's my original point about The Witcher. So, I love games where you can play a gay character and you choose your character.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, as The Witcher, I was the biggest straight slut ever in that game. Because I am not playing a character of my invention in that game. Mm-hmm. It's like Grand Theft Auto 5. There's 3 characters you're playing in that game, and I'm not like any of them. I'm not like a up-and-coming, like, you know, hustler. I'm not like an old dad who's like, you know, a dried up mobster. And I'm certainly not the social, although I'm probably most like the crazy one in that game, right?
Yeah.
But you play a particular character. So Gerald, as a character, is in love with Triss, mm-hmm. and he's in love with Yennefer. And they say several times, including in a classroom where little kids are asking him questions about what it is to be a witcher, is it true that witches have, like, a high sex drive and have to have sex all the time or they explode?
And he comes in their face.
No, he does not. There's no, none of that. But, I mean, like, obviously, if that's the character I'm playing in the game, I can accept that that's the character I'm playing. And I literally chose both the women, which is one of my only bone of contention with The Witcher,
mm-hmm.
is that if you choose both the women, do you know what happens if you choose both the women?
If you choose both, don't they, like, say they want to have a three-way and then leave you tied up?
They leave you tied up. Yeah. Which made me mad because they say, we love each other, which they kind of do. It's a slight suggestion there's a little lesbianism between the two of them, right? Mm-hmm. They both love Gerald. Why can't we all be mature and be together?
Because I think it's...
I think it's a funny joke. Yeah, right. And I also think that that would have been really controversial because women would have said, this game as misogynistic, or when people would have said it was misogynistic.
And I actually think that is somewhat contingent and, like, something that would actually happen in real life, out of the fact, yes, they probably do love each other in some way, and they both do love Gerald, but it's like, no, the thing is, like, love's a very complicated emotion, and those kinds of emotions,
Either it's funny because Gerald and Triss are kissing for the first time in the background on the screen right now at the masquerade ball.
Very
with
fun
fireworks.
Timing.
Yeah. So, no, but here's the thing about that game. You don't really have a choice when you get involved in conversations about, you know, with them. So the one weird thing is that I'm alone with Yennefer. I tell her I'm totally in love with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm alone with Triss, and I kind of, like, I told Yennefer first, and I was just thinking, you know, Gerald has been obsessed with this woman. She's kind of a little bit mean and, like, uppity, but, you know, he's obsessed with her, so I'll just choose her for him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I kind of did the storyline with Triss where I could get with her. And I think most people do it the other way around.
Yeah.
But Triss is just so cool. And I was like, oh, well, like, I really want to be with her. But then there's no option to go back to Yennefer and say, oh, you know, here's the thing. Kind of realized I'm in love. And there's no option to say to both of them, hey, you know, I've actually both told you separately. And the real unfortunate thing is that you send them both to Kaer Morhen.
Yeah.
And whether or not you see it, you don't ever see it. It happens off screen. Obviously, they both say to each other at some point, hey, you know, Gerald told me he loved me. Oh, that's interesting. He told me he loved me. I mean, right?
Yeah,
obviously, you're screwed.
That obviously, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, even if they're both willing to be with you, if you seriously just did this thing where you, like, told them both you love them and then idiotically send them both to Kaer Morhen to help defend it, is that the right name of the place? I don't know. The castle? I mean, I
haven't played The Witcher, actually.
Oh, you haven't?
Like, yeah, the only way I get through The Witcher is by watching you play. I just haven't had time to dive into this giant RPG, especially after all my time in a Fallout.
And I would say that, here's a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
So William, who plays D&D with us,
yes.
and his wife, I guess, Nicole,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this was what.
So, William loves The Witcher. Mm-hmm. William and I both love The Witcher. Nicole had no interest in playing The Witcher. She loves that Fallout world.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy Fallout and play it at some point down the road, but I'm not starving for it, hungry for it, or interested in it.
Which is fine.
So, which do you prefer? Post-apocalyptic or...
Oh, I guarantee, hands down, I am sci-fi all the way.
You are.
When it comes to sci-fi and fantasy, I am sci-fi all the way. Me and my girlfriend have actually had conversations like this because she loves Harry Potter, and I can't get into that universe. And she'll read any book I recommend her because she reads through books like the way I go through video games, just aggressively.
That's what you said. You said she's a really fast reader.
Exactly. So I've recommended all these books that are actually way more sci-fi, and she'll read them and give very valid feedback and opinions in doing all this. But, like, if you look at our bookshelves, she's fantasy, I'm sci-fi.
I guess I mean, in the worlds that I've created, like, certainly there's, like, a blend, but I mean, I'm much more, like, sort of, like, the beauty of the forest and the woods and the mystery of that.
Yeah, because even you and I do a Star Wars D&D game, and even there, it's like, you still get your fantasy kick because there's this heavy influence on the force and that as a magical force, and it's like you still get your magical ability, whereas, like, when it focuses on my character, it's very Firefly, Renegade.
Say that the Star Wars universe for me is one of the few that is it's kind of more of a fantasy story to me than a sci-fi story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have spaceships and you have lasers, but I mean, you have knights, you have swords, you have, you know, mm-hmm. it's that universe to me is like, you can tell almost any story in it. And I don't think it was like that just because of the first three movies. So let's get back to video games though, because we can talk about Star Wars until we're blue in the face.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. So we were talking about The Witcher. Oh, so here's an interesting thing about The Witcher. CD Projekt Red's next game is a cyberpunk game.
Oh, yeah, Cyberpunk 2077.
Right, so do you know that Ciri in The Witcher, the girl that you're running around with... First of all, interestingly enough, when it came time, they pretty much let you choose for her whether she's interested in women or men.
Mm-hmm.
And she never has a sex scene with anybody, right?
Yeah.
But for me, because she's a Witcher and they sort of seem like oversexed and sort of into women... I don't know. I just thought it made sense to me that even as a female Witcher, she might be into women.
Hmm.
So, I totally hit Ciri be a lesbian in my game.
Gotcha.
Which was kind of cool. So, like, you know, Geralt is who he is. Geralt is not going mm-hmm. to go, and I admit I tried. I went to the prostitute house and tried to talk to the men, and they just sort of, like, say, please, or why would you even talk to us? Or, you know, mm-hmm. they don't, you can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tried.
Yeah.
Because I was like, maybe Geralt will dabble. You know, you have enough sex with enough people, you're going to try everything once. But
absolutely. It's a lot of curiosity.
So this is the thing about Ciri in that game. Her power is that she can port to, like, different places, basically. She can mm-hmm. open up portals to all these different places. And there's a point in the game, one of the coolest parts, by the way, spoiler alert, Matt, who's playing The Witcher right now, where you port through all these different worlds. But she tells you about some of the worlds she went with in a conversation with Geralt, mm-hmm. and she says, you wouldn't believe some of the things I saw. And he says, well, like, what'd you see? She says, I was in a world where everybody had flying carriages, mm-hmm. right, and used them. And I thought maybe they were starting to talk about our world, mm-hmm. or, and then she goes, and everybody had, she didn't call them machines. Can't remember what she called them. Everybody had metal parts in their heads and body that could, like, control things.
Oh.
She was, I guarantee you that in their cyberpunk game, there's going to be an Easter egg where you pass her on a street somewhere. It will be small.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
she's actually went to that cyberpunk world,
which
I think
is
cool.
Really cool. That's
so
awesome.
Here's
here's
one thing I'll say. That cyberpunk world sounds totally awesome to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where I do not flourish, though, very well, and I played my fair share of zombie games. I played Dying Light, that recent one.
Oh, yeah, Dying Light.
I played the one where you were, like, the group one that was made by Turtle Rock.
Oh, Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. So I played my fair share. I just... That post-apocalyptic, dirty, grayed out, mutant, fucked up world.
Zombie
of,
versus... I mean, like, the zombie
of the Fallout
apocalypse.
Just doesn't do it. I'm so much more Skyrim. Yeah. But you know what I love about that company is they switch between the two, and what a palate cleanser that has to be for people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Though... Sure. Hello, Bethesda. Is that it?
Bethesda.
Could you please hire somebody who knows how to make good-looking people? Because there's not been a single Bethesda game that I've ever played in which you could make a good-looking character
Truth.
If you tried.
Character creation is horrible.
I like the character creation in both Skyrim and Fallout 4. I was able to create characters that I liked, where it's like...
Well, would you play a woman or a man? Oh, here's a question for you. When you're playing a game, you can choose gender. What do you play?
And that's just it. We've had this conversation. For me, I always create characters based on myself.
Okay.
And I put myself into that world. So I create, you know, white heterosexual males.
So, which, interestingly enough, William, who is straight and married to Nicole,
yeah.
he always creates women and then does his best to make them lesbians, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Greg Dent, in every online game that I've ever played with Greg will play women. And mm-hmm. I have played online games with him that are text-based where other people assume...
Of course.
...that he's a real woman.
Yeah.
So we will be walking around and people will give him money and they'll give him armor. And because I'm playing a dude... Everybody just assumes that for all they know, I could be a woman in real life, right?
Yeah.
And I actually have used that ploy before in an online game where I think it was World of Warcraft, where I told somebody, well, I'm actually a woman in real life. And then all of a sudden, all the little gifts start flowing
really?
From some poor little shy nerd boy.
Now we've hit the real conversation topic. This is good.
Well, like, I don't play a lot of online games, but I will say that I've seen that happen. And Greg was like, Greg, do you ever tell these people you're really a man? Oh, hell no.
Because
I just
gets
take
all
the money and the treasure and run.
Jeez.
You've never done that, though?
No,
because you play characters that are like you.
I always play to myself. I always go, like, what am like, I'm the one making the decisions. Let's put me in this world.
I think that's a very weird subject for me because, like,
I don't know that I ever make a character who's me. Like, I don't find myself to be... I don't want to make a character... I mean, you could probably make a bald 45-year-old man, but I just... I don't. I always, like, play, yeah. like... I always play a character who's, like, a dark, assassin-y archetype sort of character. Like, in Skyrim, my character was, like, some guy with long black hair and dark eyes.
And no,
like,
I get that. Yeah. yeah, you always seem to be about stealth when it comes to a lot of your games.
So here's the... Here's
or being crafty. Or
right.
Least, yeah.
here, I like the assassin archetype, mm-hmm. right? But swear to you, I am so much... you would think, I don't know, just the high fantasy that I love, you'd think that the characters I would... And I would think it, too. The characters I would gravitate towards would be, like, wizards and thieves and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think 99% of the time, I just really want to stick a sword in somebody, and I always just end up playing, like, the warrior.
I'm always kind of a brute character. I actually recently started a second... Like, my first profile in Fallout 4 that I put, like, 70-something hours into is a brute force character, uses power armor.
How is the melee combat in Fallout 4?
I haven't actually used it. I have no real major interest in used melee combat, but they give you a lot of options.
So, okay, so here's the thing. I am so anti-gun.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not anti-gun in the real world, I don't like that, but I'm anti-gun, like, in video games, mm-hmm. because there's so many games where you just, that's what you, like, you're playing Halo, you're gonna use a gun. You're playing, you know, a zombie game, you're gonna use a gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I don't have to use a gun, so, what's it called, the game that was just out that was super hard on PlayStation 4,
Bloodborne? No.
Bloodborne, yeah.
Yeah, Bloodborne.
So, Bloodborne, I resolved at the start of that game
mm-hmm.
that I was never gonna use the gun.
Mm-hmm.
I never equipped one, never used a gun ever. Played that whole game without a gun. Only to watch Layton play that game with a gun and realize that the guns don't kill the monsters. They, like, stun them so you can hit them.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally gave myself the biggest handicap. I mean,
I was like, I'm pretty sure guns were never the focus in Bloodborne. I've never played that game.
I mean,
series,
you
but I've
use
seen
them to
play.
Like interrupt an enemy's attack, and then you can mess them up. That game is infinitely easier watching somebody play it with the guns. I still, to this day, have never used a gun. And Layton wanted to play my character for one boss fight, and he goes, "Can I please equip a gun?" And even the concept of that upset me too much. Because I was like, no, you can't. I've never shot a gun. You can't. And then it's not like at the end of it there was like a... I don't think there was an achievement for not using a gun. I don't think that ever happened,
oh, no,
right?
No, no. I
but,
that.
You know, I mean, it was like... It's sort of assumed... And look, there are people who play that game with the drum controller from, like, Rock Band and are awesome. So I'm not saying, like, I'm the best, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I did seriously handicap myself in that game. And there is one boss that I never successfully beat. He's an optional boss. And Layton and I tried for an entire afternoon, but I refused to let him use a gun. And I watched him beat it with a gun, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, the guy up on the rooftop, and the thing that kills me about him is he, I love katanas.
Yeah.
He's the boss that if you beat, you got the katana after beating him. So, like, in a weird way, I locked myself out of getting the very weapon that I wanted the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you could beat that guy without a gun. I'm sure people do it all the time. I just, we couldn't.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, that game was hard.
Yeah, yeah.
That game was hard.
Those games, I mean, for me, when I play video games now, it really is like stress relief. Like right now I'm doing, I'm still doing the Uncharted series. I got the Nathan Drake collection.
Okay.
And those are, like, I just have it on normal difficulty. I'm sure I can beat it on its hardest difficulty.
I
just do normal, play through, get the cutscenes, watch this cool
character. I'm on it with you. I'm going to tell you that on The Witcher, I have the combat settings set to the absolute lowest because... And I still die sometimes on that game, right?
Yeah.
That game has, like,
you get too many bad guys around you, you get
ganked, right?
Yeah.
And I get a little bit of... I'm an aggressive player, not a defensive player. In that game, you kind of have to dodge around some. But I definitely, like, I don't... I'm the same way, like, now with video games. I used to really like to be challenged. Well, one thing about the fucking Witcher is that the load times are brutal after you die.
So,
screw that. I'll just, you know, I'll just do what I do, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so back to sexuality about games. What other games have a lot of sex in them? I can't
really
think.
Well, what I also really wanted to talk about, and you brought up a pretty good point, is, like, what are, like, maybe homosexual characters in games that pissed you off? Or, like, what are some homosexual characters that you thought were great, or either or?
I mean, I can't think off the top of my head of any character that is, like, openly mm-hmm. gay that, like, has ever pissed me off. I didn't particularly like the guy in Dragon Age.
Yeah.
With a mustache, but I didn't hate him either.
Yeah.
Pause for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, peace out.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
gay characters that have ever pissed me off.
Yeah, gay characters that ever.
So like I said, the guy in Dragon Age, he didn't piss me off. He just wasn't my thing.
Yeah, because I mean, you grew up like through all of like the most of the existence of games.
I mean, to be clear, there. It's only recently that anybody's ever even acknowledged that, like, in games that gay characters existed. I mean, so I will tell you the most compelling gay thing I've ever played was in, what's it called, Mass Effect, which is another Dragon Age people, BioWare?
It's BioWare, yeah.
Yeah, BioWare. Mass Effect 3, the romance that you can have with the one guy was... Well, you could have romances with a couple guys, but I had it with I can't remember, he's a guy from the other games. Caden, maybe, is his name?
Caden, yeah.
Yeah. That was, like, it was, like, really good writing. Like, when they went and admitted to each other that they were in love with each other, like, I was compelled by that. I'm kind of a big cutscene skipper for a lot of games.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really do that in The Witcher. I don't in The Witcher, because The Witcher's got such great stories.
Yeah.
But most cutscenes are like, well, why do I care about that? But, no, that game is... That love story was, like, amazing. And, like, at the end, like, when you finally, like, do it with him, and, like, I can't remember if he dies or not. I'm trying to think. I think it's
up to you, because, I mean, usually the characters live...
Well, everybody gets messed up at the end of that stupid game, because the whole... But, yeah. No, I just thought that was a very compelling story, and, like, kudos to them. Now, I didn't play the first Dragon Age, which you could, like, have sex with the hot elf, so... That makes me sad, because certainly in the second Dragon Age, there was... Or the Dragon Age, the one I just...
Elf was not as hot.
Nobody... Well, you couldn't have... I thought you could. You couldn't get with him. Okay. Yeah, he was straight. So, Warriors and Wizards 2. Let me just say this. I recently played Diablo with Matt, Diablo 3.
Yeah.
And there's the Crusader, right? Mm-hmm. So I started out with him, and I loved him, right?
Yeah.
But then Matt wanted to play the Crusader, so I thought, oh, I'll try the Wizard. That is one game in which you play the Wizard, and literally... You dominate the dance floor.
Really?
I mean, that wizard is crazy in that game.
Jeez.
Like, he fries everyone.
Because I was doing the barbarian.
So here's a question that I think is this may have something to do with me being gay or not. Customization is super, super, super important to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will not wear ugly armor like Matt is wearing right now in The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's awesome and wearing the wolf mask, which I wore through my entire first play. I will not wear ugly clothes, even if it gives you the most amazing stat boost ever. I will grossly underpower my character so that my swords and my outfit and everything look good. I mean, do you do that or do you care?
I've done minor things like that. Like, not to a major extent, where it's like, if I got this new armor and it was very powerful and it was kind of ugly, I would go like, you know what, I can stomach it now. I'm going to really try and push to find a better looking, like, stronger and better looking set of armor. Like, not only just, like, yeah, but the other thing would be that I would, if it came to, like, if it was a first-person game, like, a lot of times it's, like, I want my character to be looking badass and just doing all that, even regardless of a first-person game.
Wait, first-person or
third-person? I'm talking first, where it's, like,
well, even, like, why, what do you care in first-person, like, really, though?
I still care if he looks badass and he's, because he's still,
even
like...
Even if it's Skyrim, like, and you're in first-person, nobody else can see you.
Yeah, I still...
So are you first-person or third-person if you have the choice?
I'm first-person, for Skyrim and Fallout. I'll be first-person.
I am absolutely third-person. I prefer third-person... way over it. And here's why.
Because
I have yet, and I think with virtual reality this will really change for me, because I've played a few VR demos and they're amazing.
Yeah,
I cannot stand the fact in first person games that the camera is, that where you're looking from is not where your eyes are located, but like sometimes 4 feet, sometimes a foot in front of where your eyes are.
Yeah.
Like any Halo game, you're like down the nose of your gun. You can't see your arms. I mean, you can look down and see your legs in some of the later ones.
Yeah.
But I have yet to really play a first-person game in which I feel like I'm in... Mirror's Edge was better at it. But even there, the camera is not where your eyes are. The camera's like a... I think with that one, it was like maybe like a half a foot in front of where your eyes would be. And I can't stand that. It drives me up the wall.
Gotcha.
I think I could play a first-person game and be happy, but I like situational awareness, too.
Gotcha.
So I think I told you this. I played the Alien Predators game, and I was able to cheat and play the alien in third person. So I had played that whole game. And, I mean, first of all, why do you want to play an alien when you can't see the awesomeness that it is, right? But I played that whole game, and I got lost miserably in that game. And this might be one of the older ones where the textures weren't as great, right?
Yeah.
But the minute I put that cheat on and I could play in third person, I never get lost in third person. any game that I can play. In fact, in Skyrim, sometimes when you're archer, when you're using the bow,
yeah,
I would go into first person, and I would get briefly lost in dungeons, and then the minute I switched to third person, I don't know what it is. I never get lost in third person.
Gotcha.
What is that about? I don't know.
Well, it's because, I mean, in that perspective especially, it's like, it gives you a much better glance of the room, because not only, you can even see a bit behind you. That's right, the reason why people often like that, is because if someone's attacking you from behind, you get instant awareness of like, oh, this person's directly behind me, and he's gearing up for another attack. I can turn around and block it right now if I act fast. It does add to that situational awareness.
You know, there's gay characters in Dynasty Samurai Warriors, I think.
Okay.
But you don't necessarily, they don't say it, but they are, because historically, if you read about them, they were.
Yeah.
And some of them are pretty awesome. I've been trying to rack my brain while we're talking about other games that have, like...
That's where...
I mean, most games are BioWare games where you choose. Mm-hmm. Like Skyrim, where you sort of choose, right?
Well, I thought one of the coolest depictions of, like, a gay character is that they recently added a gay character to Mortal Kombat. And the way they reveal it is they never directly say, yes, this person's gay. He is a gay person, he loves men, he loves penises and buttholes.
I just can't handle Mortal Kombat because I hate the fight.
Yes, I know. But
you put the most awesome gay character in the... They put the alien in that game, and I'm still not willing to play it, so...
but
it's time for us to not be in the world of two-dimension anymore. I don't care how good your graphics are.
Well, the way
I'm a Soul Calibur guy, gotcha, all the way. Because, once again, you have full... I mean, it's a 3D game rather than a 2D game. I can't handle 2D games. Yeah. Can't handle it.
Well, the way they reveal how he's gay is, like, you actually are with this character and playing with him the whole time, and he's just...
Playing with him, Doc?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah, playing with him all the time. Mm-hmm. And, little finger, you know, a little bit. You know, doing a little practice in the back, you know. Mm-hmm.
Are his fatalities gay at all?
No, no. Just... He Rectal. Sucks them off, and they're right. Like, oh, God!
He just rips their dick off and keeps
he
it.
Gives him, he gives I'm him AIDS, and it's later. A very slow oh, there fatality.
We there we go. Now you get to watch, well, in the old days, you get to watch for, you know, 10 years. Now, you know, that'd be a great fatality. This is so inappropriate. That'd be a great fatality in a game where, like, the guy, like, does something sexual to them, and the person goes, you're not going to kill me? And it's like... No, but I've greatly reduced your lifespan. Enjoy HIV. Oh,
God. Yeah. That's
so we're going to get so
yeah,
many.
That's mean.
You know that there's no part of my... I lived through the AIDS crisis and worked with people with HIV for a decade. Mm-hmm. So I have a really disgusting sense of humor about that, because you kind of have to see so much go on. But anyway,
the way they revealed it is just like, there's a cutscene where he's talking with Lord Raiden, and he's like, you need to go back to your clan. And he's like, no, this is my only recourse. They don't understand me. He's like, if you go back, they will accept you. And he's like, no, they won't. It's just how it is. And that was there, and that's the only reference to him being gay.
But they told everybody he was gay like some other way, right?
Yeah, people were asking up like, hey, what did you mean by this? And they're like, well, he's gay. And so
Lord Raiden doesn't like gay people?
No, he was telling him to go back to his clan. He's like, that's your family.
Oh,
like,
Raiden was telling him to.
Yeah, Raiden was telling him that, and then he's like, no, I can't.
I don't think a thunder god could give a crap about who sleeps with who.
Oh, yeah, he didn't care. He's like, you're a fighter. You're one of the greatest fighters ever. You're in this game, dude. Go be gay.
To be clear, if you get on medication right away with HIV and take care of yourself, you'll live a normal lifespan. It's like it's actually less detrimental to you than diabetes. And you should get on medication right away, because it helps your organs, which you having a virus, even if you're not... Anyway, I'll shut up. I know a lot about HIV. I'm just... My earlier reference was not accurate. It would have been accurate like a decade ago. So, I guess, like, I can't think of any time that there's been a gay character in a game that, like, there's so many movies that have, especially in the 80s and 90s, that have, like, that irritating gay character that's, like, a throwaway character.
Yeah.
Like, he either screams and he's the first one to die in the horror movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, swear to you, in the 80s, if you watch the 80s movies, yes, or 90s movies more.
Yeah.
Yes, if you're black, you're going to die in the horror movie. Mm-hmm. But nobody dies faster in horror movies in that time period than the gay character, if there happens to be one.
That's true. And the funny thing about that is, like, one of the earliest horror films, which was Night of the Living Dead, had a black antagonist. Or protagonist.
And he doesn't die?
And he lives till the end.
I've never seen that movie, though.
The black and white one.
Yeah, no, I've never seen it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, though, interestingly enough, and I mean, this is decades ago, but I had never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big fan of...
That one's like...
I'm not a big fan of violence porn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, movies like that just don't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hostel, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Any movie by Rob Zombie has kind of, like, just fallen flat for me. But I watched... It was it was probably 15 years ago, but I mean, for me, it was late in my life. I was like way into my, I was into my 30s. I think I was 30 when I saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre for the first time. That is the most amazing horror film ever.
Really?
Because it is, have you ever seen the original?
No, no, never seen the original.
Oh, okay, so Doc, it's not torture porn. It is this relentless, not droney, not like slow, relentless, fast-paced, once it gets going, no-holds-bar film in which the characters who are up against these crazies literally act like you would. There's a scene where the girl who's running from Leatherface or whatever,
yeah,
or the family, runs upstairs into their house, mm-hmm. And she gets away from him. How many movies do you run upstairs in a house and people are like, I'm trapped, I don't know how to get up here because I'm on the second floor?
Oh,
no, you know what she does? She doesn't even pause. The first window she sees, she goes through, tumbles out of the on the little eave, rolls off onto the ground below. Which if you had been through what she'd been through and seen your friends put up on hooks and killed, you would jump out a window. I mean, people jumped off the World Trade Center, like, you know, when they had no other choice. You would do it, but nobody shows that in movies. Like, you're always like, I hate it when there's a horror film and you're on the second floor and like, also, something that movie does is there's like a couple places where people are hiding.
Mm-hmm.
They never make a sound while they're hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a horror movie in my rest of my life in which somebody's not hiding and they're not going. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. If you're really scared, you don't make a fuck. Have you ever hidden been scared?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had that feeling during hide and seek when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. I took it way too seriously. I mean, I don't breathe. You don't breathe. And when they're hiding in that original movie, I mean, I just, it's, that's a great movie. You mm-hmm. should go watch that movie tonight when we're done with this.
All right.
And it will stick with you. It also is like this movie in which they have this guy in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
and he's an irritating character. And it's a weird choice. Like, it's a very weird choice that the sort of character that you could probably easily make sympathetic because he's in a wheelchair and he's not going to be able to run away, is kind of, he's irritating. He's, like, needy. He's like, oh, that's, I need so you weird. To push there's, me, and I need you to help me, and I need you to da-da-da-da-da-da.
There's a guy in the wheelchair in the second Friday the 13th movie, too.
But he's hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
he's like, very sexually active in that movie, too.
Like, he was, so was he just, he does have sex in that movie, doesn't he?
He's, like, flirting with women, and there's a whole scene where I think he was, like, trying to meet up with a woman to have sex with her and gets a machete to the face.
But we never actually see him have sex in that movie, so do we know whether or not, like...
We don't know, maybe he's putting
it
in front.
It's Friday the 13th one where you get to see Kevin Bacon's ass.
Because
let me tell you what,
I was
very young when I saw that movie.
Uh-huh.
That is not my gay awakening, but it's a close second.
It was close.
Well, no, I wasn't that young.
Yeah.
Jesus, Kevin Bacon and I are probably the same age. No, he's older than me, right? I don't know.
I think he's older. I think he's 50.
Oh, okay, so a few years older than me.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing that movie and thinking Kevin Bacon was hot.
Gotcha.
We watched that movie recently, and I was like, Kevin Bacon's got a nice butt. And it's a weird thing, too. So, so do you know that the Friday the 13th movies are based on an Italian director's horror films, right?
Really?
Yes. And he made James Bond-like movies, too, that were called, like, Diabolique or something like that. Mm-hmm. He made a bunch of, like, these movies in Italy, and, God, he is Italian, not Spanish. So, the interesting thing about his movies were that he had a character much like Jason who killed campers, right? Mm-hmm. The guy in his movies just kills whoever.
Yeah.
Their attitude towards sex there. People have sex in that movie. I think the main character in the first one has sex and she lives. Mm-hmm. She's like the first person to have sex with somebody. She doesn't get killed. Later, in our country, the guarantee that you die in a Friday the 13th movie is the minute you have sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sort of like a... It's almost like there's a moral judgment on you if you have
absolutely,
sex.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah,
Jason's
yeah,
coming
yeah.
for you if you fuck,
especially
right?
for the time that horror movies were coming out. Like, that was the thing, where it's like, if you have sex, that's a sign that you're not as, like, you're kind of dancing with the devil. You're
Speaking of
you're,
homosexuality, yeah. have you ever watched, recently ever watched Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
No.
That movie is, like, complete, and I remember seeing it when I was young and thinking, well, they obviously don't mean for this to be homoerotic, but it kind of is. But that movie is completely homoerotic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's like a gay leather bar in that movie. And there's like a bondage scene where the gym teacher like ties the boy up and like makes him run laps. And so, I mean, it's... The guy has like a he barfs Freddy out of his mouth. I mean, that movie is... I think they admit now...
Is that
now,
the one where he's a snake and he's eating a kid?
I think that this... Oh, yeah, that's right. And so, like, I think that that movie now, they do admit that, like, they accidentally made it, you know... Well, then there's, there's the Jeepers Creepers movies, too, which that director is gay in real life, and that's pretty obvious since he always has shirtless guys running around.
I love both
those movies, though. They're really good.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool movie. Okay, so back to video games and sex in video games.
Video games, yes. Sexuality and video games.
I'm, like, drawing a blank on other gay characters in video games. I'm probably horrible. There's probably... So, there was the Ballad of Gay Tony for Grand Theft Auto?
Yes.
I never played it. Was he actually gay, or did they just call him that?
Oh, no, he's... Yeah, he's gay Tony.
So, like, you played it?
Yeah, I played that. And he is... Yes, he is
gay.
So, does
he go to, like... Does he go to, like, strip clubs and, like, have male strippers tip them?
No, he's a club owner.
Okay.
And he owns the hottest gay clubs in the area, and he has a boyfriend whose boyfriend is the most irritating asshole, but that's just for the sake of hating that character, because it's like, you want to hate that character. They're like, we want a character who kind of is a bad influence on
Tony. So I didn't like that Grand Theft Auto, the one in New York. I didn't like it because I just did not find the main character compelling in it.
Yeah.
And I returned it to the video game store, and the guy at the video game store, who I go to the same video game store for years, he knows me, he goes, oh, I'm surprised you didn't like that. You love open world games. Like, why don't you like it? And I was like, I just had no interest in being that character. He wasn't compelling to me. I'm not from Russia. I felt like he was kind of boring, right?
Gotcha, yeah.
And if you're living somebody else's life, I at least want them to be kind of interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So I told him, it'd be great if they had, like, Grand Theft Auto, like, gay version. I'd play that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, 4 months later, the Ballad of Gay Tony comes out, and I'm kind of a hypocrite because I never played it. So I probably should go try that.
Give it a shot. I mean, but Gay Tony is, like, he's a character in it. It's, like, it's not the character that you play, though.
Well, so, interesting sexuality-wise, I don't think that Trevor in Grand Theft Auto V has any qualms about sex with anything.
No,
it's like, I think he befouls a teddy bear in that game.
I'm pretty sure there's a part, like, if you do one of the jumps where you jump to him, there's a part where he's getting out of bed and there's a guy in it.
Right, but he also, when they're driving with his cousin to town,
yeah,
if you take too long and his cousin keeps yapping, he tells his cousin, like, something like, this drive is getting really boring. If you don't shut up in a few minutes, you're going to fucking start sucking my dick because I need something to entertain
me. Always saying shit like that.
Right. I mean, he is...
It's so aggressive.
Such a despicable character in every way, shape, and form, yet utterly likable and charming. I don't know what... I loved playing him. I loved switching over to him, like, where he would, like, be under an overpass in his underwear with pee all over him and, like, drinking a beer. I mean, you just... Whatever he was getting up to, you just... You always kind of, like...
Yeah.
I know, he was a great character.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's supposed to be a personification of how all the entire audience plays Grand Theft Auto.
Right, so, like
basically...
Like,
he's a representation of the natural audience.
Those games are sort of over the top, and, like, they're, it's basically like a social commentary on... So it's what? It's like a side within an aside, so, like, how many walls are there? Like, what's...
It's a fourth wall break within a fourth wall break, so it's like 16 wall breaks.
Yeah, okay. Good for you, Deadpool. If you haven't seen Deadpool, go see it. We should spoil Deadpool right now. Just so spoiler!
I would have to edit this.
Spoiler, Deadpool talks a lot. Spoiler, he's kind of like that Trevor guy in a weird way. Like Ryan Reynolds said in an interview that he doesn't think that that guy has any qualms with doing it with anyone.
No, I have a feeling that based on how they represent Deadpool, he is open to
try things.
That
being said, his love interest in that movie was so charming.
Oh, she was awesome.
I would have dated her. I wouldn't have been able to have successful sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have dated her just so that amazing. Every straight guy that saw me with her would have been jealous beyond belief. Also because she was just awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Inara from Firefly. She's amazing.
Well, she is. That is right. And I do love that actress. And she's only gotten sexier with age.
I know,
right? You know
who
else has gotten sexier with age, in my opinion, is Scully.
Really?
You look at Scully, like, back in the original X-Files,
she's
kinda,
so 90s.
She's kind of bloated looking, right?
Yeah.
You look at her now, and I mean, of course, she's had to have had some work. God bless her, because you have to if you want to be a woman and continue in Hollywood. But I just think she is infinitely prettier than she ever was. Okay, so, some other video game choices. I've admitted that I am the worst about the way my character looks. And it's not about being sexy.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, if you can make a sexy character, great, but it's more about, like, they have to, like, I would prefer them to be in black, and I would prefer their swords to look mean, and if you give me a katana, even if it has terrible stats, I'm probably going to use it over everything else, and...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. What else? Can you think of other gay characters in games? I can't think of any.
No, I'm running dry.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably some of those vampire games for the computer that I've never played. I mean, I guess the first game I ever played that let you be, like, with a man was... I can't remember if in Oblivion that was part of it, was it?
No, not in Oblivion. Because
but it
I
was
remember,
in Fallout New Vegas.
It was...
You could date a dude, I think.
I don't remember that. I do remember that Mass Effect 3 having gay relationships was a big thing.
Well, and here's the thing. In Mass Effect 3, all the guys you could get with were good-looking, because everybody, like, had that Real Engine 3, like, rock body, right?
Yeah.
So great. I have had many, many times, in Skyrim included... in which I just did not pursue a gay relationship because there's not a single guy good looking enough to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or like, that I would like, I wouldn't pursue that guy in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of Bethesda's problem is that the guys aren't good looking. But I remember in Fallout New Vegas, there was a guy like who was like, he would be your companion and run around with you everywhere. And he was actually like hot. But there was no romance option with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, note to developers, if you're going to put a gay relationship in there, can you just make the guy hot that you can get with? Can you give me the option to be with somebody hot? Now, when I played Skyrim on the computer, I had a hot little boyfriend who followed me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a very effective fighter and like used like magic and other things that I don't really get into in those games. Like, I think the doorway to entry for magic in a lot of games is a little bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to spend a whole hell of a lot of time spending... In menus, figuring things out.
Yeah.
And magic is usually, like, that's where they kind of get you into that. You know, the whole, like, you have to, like, develop your spells. And
mm-hmm.
Like, in The Witcher, it's not so bad. I have a lot of spells in The Witcher, but even in The Witcher, the only branch that I have that's, like, got everything opened up is the combat branch.
Because
I'm just an aggressive player, so.
Yeah.
I know, so final thoughts on gay characters in games.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, we're at a good amount of time, so we can wrap up whenever
I would,
we want.
I would just say that as an industry, I think that the gaming world is great. I think they're right on par.
Mm-hmm.
They're not slacking.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trendsetters. They've made decisions that, and in a game like Mass Effect, the game that your vision of who's playing it might be this, like, you know, straight guy who's, you know, oh, I'm going to go just, you know, conquer the galaxy, you know,
yeah.
You know, whatever that is. You know, that might be the average marketer's vision for that is, for you to put gay characters in it, great. But I, like I'm saying here now, and I will say this clearly, love it when there's gay characters. It is not necessary for me to have that in a game, for me to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
In some of my other media, I'm a little bit like, I mean, I love fantasy shows and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if there's a gay character in a show, I'm much more interested in that show in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And like, have you ever watched Black Sails?
No, I haven't. It's kind
so
of, yeah.
Huge spoiler alert. If you haven't watched Black Sails and you don't want to know, go away. But that show is a show that the first season is rough to watch. It's kind of hard to get through. And it doesn't feel very piratey to me. It's a lot of like on land establishing characters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this guy Flint, who's, you know, the main protagonist of that show, and I liked him because he's just one of these characters that like has an axe to grind, but you just, the first season they don't tell you what the hell his axe is to grind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I like him, but what could have possibly happened to this guy who was a lord in London? What could possibly have happened to him that could give him such a big axe to grind against England, right? Or, right, you know, what could give it to him? I just couldn't imagine any. I was like, I just don't get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a problem for me. But I love, I kind of like that sort of era, and they have a lot of real pirates in there, and I've read a lot about it, so I like it. So it's midway through the second season, big fucking reveal, he had a gay lover, he was a soldier, and this gay lover was a lord, and together they had a whole plan that literally probably would have worked. Eventually their plan is, I mean, they're fictional. Flint is fictional because he's from, you know, what's it called? Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm.
So this show fixes fictional pirates with real pirates, right?
Gotcha.
But, which is nice because you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. I can't just read history and find out what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
They stick to history with a lot of the characters, but, you know, anyway. But the big reveal is that his lover basically, like, the government found out about them and, like, destroyed their lives and put the guy in a insane asylum and lobotomized him. And he was exiled to the far continents. Well, he had no choice to either go there or go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this woman with him who was the wife of this guy who was his gay lover, but she knew, she didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's a mature relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we can handle that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And man, oh man, oh man, oh man, when that motivation came through, it really hits you that this guy has an axe to grind with an entire society.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great axe to give him. And it's weird because he has never talked about it to any other character. She was the only one who knew this woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole... You still know that that's his axe to grind.
Yeah.
And it sort of becomes clear, like, especially in this third season, he's sort of negotiating with this slave queen woman
mm-hmm.
who, like, runs this escaped slave colony. And it becomes clear that the reason that her and him can get along is because of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I have to say I give them... And it's something that they plan from the start.
Yeah. Because obviously it's very refreshing to kind of see that, you know, people are considering homosexuality. There's at least voices on the internet going like,
sex with a man
is
never... I mean, I think it's seen in the flashback,
yeah.
but it's never a part of the story. Because mm-hmm. being gay has nothing to do with who you have sex with. I mean, it does to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to do with all the other social things and all the other things that you have to deal with in that regard.
Yeah.
And he, you know, that is not a part of his character that, like, ever gets thrown in the audience's face.
Mm-hmm.
Ever again. It's just the axe he has to grind, that he lost his lover to an entire country and lost
mm-hmm.
all of that. And it's a brilliant axe to give him to grind, you know? And it's also weird because he's on these pirate ships with all men.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming that some gay sex probably happened on pirate ships, because anytime you get a bunch of people trapped together, even if they're not gay, things start going on. You know, prison is
mm-hmm.
a great example. But he doesn't tell anybody, because it's also something that probably would make him lose respect among them.
Yeah.
You know, in that time period, so...
Yeah.
So that would be my final word on video games is... One of the best gay characters ever is that Flint guy from
Black Sails.
Yes.
And which is
an awesome show.
Yeah.
It is, and in its third season...
And the final note of this video game podcast, we bring you to television.
Well, wait, what's a great pirate game? Well, Assassin's Creed, I love all
Assassin's Creed.
Creed.
I was going to say
so
Black
here's
Flag.
The thing. Inherently, in Assassin's Creed, you can't have a gay character because they have to mate with somebody at some point. I mean, you could. They could
because
he's
supposed to have an ancestor, yeah.
But it's a genetic memory that you're living through, right?
Yeah.
Which was weird with Ezio, because how old was that guy when he finally had sex with somebody that then became his descendant? Because he's, like, ancient in the last game.
That's true.
But, you know, Charlie Chaplin had kids when he was 70.
Yeah, he was also sleeping with, like, people all the time. Like, that was a part of the character, is that, when he was a teenager, he was sleeping with everybody.
So, like, I totally understand in Assassin's Creed why, like, you know, they got tons of shit for not having a female character in, they have one in Syndicate, but in Unity, which I love Unity.
Yeah.
By the way, never had a single glitch in Unity. Bought it on day one.
You're the only one.
Never had a single glitch. That is called the internet makes mountains out of molehills, in my opinion. And yes, if I'd had game-breaking glitches, and I've had them before.
Yeah.
Look, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I bought the downloadable content that let me turn my sails black.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I turned that game on, it turned my sails back the other color.
Oh, shit.
It was a huge glitch that eventually got patched that probably drove nobody crazy, but drove me through the roof because I wanted my sails to be
black. You just wanted your sails to be
black. I wanted to have black sails. I like the show. See?
Yeah.
But so, no, here's the thing. Like, I'm never going to fault Assassin's Creed for not having a gay character. They could have a bisexual character, sure, but you have to have somebody who's eventually going to breed, so their genetic memories... And let's face it, I ain't breeding.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in the Assassin's Creed universe, all the wonder that is me is going to be lost when people want to play me in the Animus, because you're never going to get to play Todd in the Animus.
Mm.
There's only one go-around for this guy, so there's my final thought.
There's your final thought. Thank you, Assassin's Creed, for ruining that adventure for everybody in the future.
What adventure is that? Oh, the gay adventure of Todd?
the gay... Todd's great
now,
gay adventures!
Just to be clear, I have had sex, in my estimation, I mean, this is horrible, but probably... But no, I shouldn't get into it.
Don't do it.
But a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you wanted to do a gay simulator, my life would be really fun. It'd be really
good. Todd's big gay first person simulator.
First person? No, third person, dude.
You would want third,
third person? Third person open world with multiple crazy gay bars that you could go to. Yeah.
There you go.
And swords, katanas.
Of course.
You'd have to, yeah. like, it, I mean, this is sounding like a Persona game. We could do that. Well, they have gay characters in that, too, right?
I think so. I've never played Persona. I could never get into the
Persona. I have the action figures because they're so cool.
Like, it's so crazy how popular that game is. I'm not sure how much of it varies between Eastern and Western markets.
Right.
Because for me, I cannot get into those games at all. Like,
I think I played, like, one of the early ones where, like, you were fighting demons and you shot yourself to go into their dimension. And but, yeah.
That sounds up my alley.
I would say that every character in that game looks gay. Every male character in Final Fantasy's games.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I mean, you start to spend a little bit too much time primping, and somebody wonders, you know.
Well, and see, and that was the thing, is I wanted to go back to, like, how gay people are represented, because that goes back to, like, the Patton Oswalt bit about, like, he auditioned to be the gay best friend in a movie. It was, like, some Cameron Diaz bullshit, whatever. And he's like, yeah, they wanted me to be the gay best friend, but I'm not going to audition the way they want me to, which is some magical quip machine, which is like, you need popcorn and red wine instead. He's
but
like,
can you think of a video? I can't off the top of my head, unfortunately, and I know there's examples, but I can't off the top of my head think of that super flamboyant, you know, like, oh my goodness, let's go have some fun together. Yeah. I was telling Matt that a guy broke up with me one time because he said my voice was too effeminate. Which, yeah, it's not the butches. But I also think he
can talk about your breakup story with the black thing.
No, like, we can't tell that story.
Okay.
No, that's
it was, not. It was a black person. It was the color black. Like, it was literally.
Oh no, we can tell that story.
Yeah.
I thought you were telling about the time the black guy that.
Oh, absolutely no.
Not talking about. No, I'm an artist, right? So this will be our final thought. I'm an artist, and I draw and I paint, and I, you know color theory, right?
Yeah.
So I was dating this guy, beautiful, great body, super sweet, like little farm boy. I had no business dating him, right?
Yeah.
But didn't talk a lot, right? And so, like, you know, at some point, he gets really mad at me and tells me that I don't know anything about him. And it's kind of like, well, you know, I talk all the time. You can talk too. I'll listen, you know, you got to, like. So I said to him, I said, well, what do you mean? What don't I know about you? And, like, this is sort of towards the end of, like, a pretty intense argument, right? And he says, you don't even know my favorite color. And I'm like, okay, well, Clint, what is your favorite color? Spoilers alert, his name was Clint. And he goes, black. And I knew I should have kept my mouth shut. But I said, Clint, black is not a color, it's a shade. Get out of my house, I'm never speaking to you again! And that was the end of our relationship. Literally, because I couldn't shut my mouth about the fact that black is not a color, it's a I mean, in paint theory, black is all colors. In light theory, it's the absence of all colors. And vice versa with white. In you know, whatever. But, like, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. I said, black is a shade, not a color. Also, if black is your favorite color, the 1980s are done, goth is over, pick a color. Even I, who am terrified of color, say red is my favorite color.
Green for me.
Oh, well. I like green. The only color I have an adverseness to is yellow, and recently I read something about, like, if you can see, like, all 37 colors in that little strip, it was, like, describing if you're somebody who see how many colors you see here, and it said if you see all 37, you have the vision that sees all colors, which I did, right? And you will deeply, deeply, deeply dislike yellow. And I thought that was the weirdest thing, because yellow is, like, one color that I just... I like green, too. I mean, I like the forest. I like the trees.
I mean, I'm not a fan of
Would you go to space if you could?
If I could go to space, I would visit space. I don't want to go live in space.
No, no, but, like, let's say you go to the International Space Station. Would you go there?
Oh, yeah.
No fucking way. Until they have starships the size of the ones that they do in Enterprise. I'm not even talking Star Wars size. Until they are, like, big and have atriums in them, there's nothing about going to space that appeals to me. That is death. That is just you inside of a tin can with death surrounding you.
Gotcha.
And people who want to go to space, Matt was said he would volunteer to go to Mars even if he knew he was going to die there like 10 years later.
Well, just a little bit of information. An astronaut would receive the same amount of radiation in one day that a normal person on the surface would receive in a year.
Oh, wow.
Well, so Steve, another reason not to go, because I want to keep my boys working.
Gotcha.
Because God knows, as a gay man, if my boys aren't working, and I can't someday impregnate a girl, they can never use the animus to come back and live Todd's big gay life story.
And it all comes full circle in that last 10 minutes. All right, well, that was good. I can't think of any closing notes. No, that's pretty good.
No, so. I would, if there are, do you guys have comments? I would love it if people could, like, just write in with any bad depiction of gay people in video games that they can think of.
I would like to read that too. Any comments that anyone wants to provide.
Right.
So,
and please forgive our inappropriateness about HIV. I really don't feel that way about any of it. I just have a terrible sense of humor.
You make jokes because you don't know what else to do.
Let me tell you, that's I am inappropriate about everything. So if I've offended you about anything, trust me, I will. There's nothing that's off limits. I think it was Leighton who said, Todd, when I first met you, I thought you were offensive until I realized that there's just no subject that you don't say something offensive about.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I think that's just true comedy. Right. It's just you can make light of anything.
Am I a comedian?
Well, no. I mean, it's a way of being light and positive. Right. But it's like you're not doing it to be mean. You're doing
when
it
to... When
you
watch half your friends die of a disease
during
the first 5 years that you're out of the closet, you better have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
Or forget it.
Well, that's where, I mean, I've heard a lot of comedians talk about it. It's like, oh, you make cancer joke, a lot of older comedians. It's like, you do cancer jokes when you're young because when you get older, your friends start getting cancer. And then there's a guy like Anthony Jeselnik who will do cancer jokes at a cancer ward.
Right.
Because he's like, it's something, like, even if it's dark and depressing, there's still humor somewhere.
I think the more inappropriate humor is, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think Louis C.K. is amazing.
Oh, Louis C.K. is fantastic.
His Saturday Night Live
child molester. I think he got banned from SNL after
that. No, he didn't.
I would have to look it up, but I heard that he was like...
I hope not. That is just stupid.
Yeah.
That was a hilarious, hilarious skit. And by the way, he's not a social comment... Well, he's making social commentary. But he's not... I'm not a newscaster giving you an educational video about, you know, the dangers of child molestation. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be grossly inappropriate.
Well, no, and see, and the thing is, what I like about that kind of comedy, of the dark kind of, like, just, is a lot of people's like, that's never funny. That can never be funny. That's so mean. Like,
there's,
what if people...
That's just absolutely not true. There's not a single subject that can't be funny.
Absolutely.
I don't care what it is.
It's like, I think...
Other than if you call a gay guy fat, that's not funny. That is, the F word to gay men is not fuck. It's not fag. The worst thing you can say to a gay man is fat. Because if you do... Anyway. All right.
All right. I think we'll end it there.
In there.
Yeah.